of Hypocritical Faith, Part 12, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk, Part 41. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 1 reads, "The vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah." "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doeth not know, my people doeth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Why should ye, the stricken, be stricken anymore? Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. We have false preachers, false pastors, false prophets, false evangelists running across this country and around the world, lying and saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. God is not pleased with America, and God is not pleased with the American church, and we all know it. But yet we still have people who want to do the happy talk, and there's no need for that. This describes not only Israel at that time, but God's people in this day and time, and our country, founded on Judeo-Christian principles. That's why it is the second most greatest country in the history of the world. Israel is always, will always be first. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, in America, but wounds and bruises and petrifying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. We have a sick nation that has not even been to the emergency room yet. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. If you read the newspapers, people are coming in to this country more now than ever. Even while there's a whole bunch of talk about a wall, thousands are pouring into this country and being distributed all across these United States. Just the other day, somehow across the Mexican border, Africans, people from Africa were coming in. The other day, a man was driving down the road and he saw someone come through a manhole out of the street. He just lifted the manhole up and was coming out. Strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. I'm not mad at them, because if I was in their situation, I'd be trying to come too. But this is what happens. This is a part of the judgment upon America. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your eternal and holy word. We praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins so that we can be here tonight and free and know where we're going when we die, because of the salvation full and free that you have offered to such wretched people as we are. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, and Lord, I pray that you would move upon our hearts through your Holy Word by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us to be like Paul when he pointed out that he's not going to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, help us to stay focused on the main thing. Help us to stay focused on you and the Great Commission, and to be able to do that. Lord, help us to focus on our sins, our failures, our faults, the sins which so easily beset us, the weights that hold us back, that keep us from shining bright in a dark, dark world. Help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves. Crucify our flesh afresh and anew, and fill us with the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray for those who are lost, that they would hear the gospel and be saved. For those who are saved, to be revived again. Glorify your holy name is our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. George MacDonald said, primarily, God is not bound to punish sin. He is bound to destroy sin. The only vengeance worth having on sin is to make the sinner himself its executioner. Now we're getting somewhere. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in this passage, this powerful passage that describes what was going on in Israel, and I believe what is going on in America today. Let's pass it back over. The Lord first establishes the foundation. Just pass yours on back over. Back. Thank you. Establishes the foundation of his complaint, his, if you will, court case against his own children, his own people, the chosen people of Israel. For one theologian has pointed out that this was a legal case that the Lord was making against the chosen people of Israel. They have rebelled against him. They have persisted in their evil and in their sin, despite severe judgment. And this is a strange thing, but I have seen it. And many of you have seen it. People who receive severe chastisement for their sins, for their foolishness, for their disobedience, for their rebelliousness, and yet they don't humble themselves under it and confess their sins and repent. God says they have become like Sodom and Gomorrah. They offer sacrifices and carry out their religious practices at the temple just like before, but live like heathens at home and on the job. The truth of the matter is today, ladies and gentlemen, people on the job and in the world, they can't tell Christians from lost heathen. And I know that in this day of happy talk in the church that you don't want to hear that, but it's true. I believe a Baptist preacher the other day wore a shirt that indicated that he was nodding and winking at the homosexual community in the month of gay pride. There are a lot of weird things happening in the church today, to the point that people in the world can't tell. They hear you preaching right, they hear you talking right, but they can't see you living right. And believe it or not, lost people who don't know Christ, if you name the name of Christ and you call yourself a believer, they want you to live it out so that when they're ready, they can come to you and find out what's going on. Their political, religious, and community leaders are likewise corrupt and self-serving, and that's what we have in this country. And quite frankly, on both the Republican side and the Democrat side, and even the independents are corrupt. And the so-called Christians, who one preacher called this past week stooges of different parties, of the various parties. We got Christians on both sides, who are nothing but stooges for the Republican Party, for the Democrat Party, for the Independent Party, or whatever other party is out there. And they don't remember how these parties have corrupted them in the past and have used them and made them look like stooges. And yet they join up with them every year, every 2 years, every 4 years, to the point that they don't see these Christians as Christians. They see them as the enemy, the Republican enemy, or the Democrat enemy, or the independent enemy. And whoever you align yourself with, you are considered with them, not with Christ. It is so sad that people, black and white, red and yellow, have forsaken Jesus Christ, have forsaken God, have forsaken the Word of God, have forsaken the Bible to become elephants and what the Bible calls asses, donkeys, instead of out and out Bible believing Christians who love Jesus. The world does not need to know who you're voting for and who you're supporting. You have the right to vote, and then shut up and leave it in God's hands, and you pray. And don't get into the mix. Evil communications corrupt good manners, the Bible says. The Bible also tells us not to get entangled in the affairs of this life. It's okay to be in this life and do your part in this life, but don't get entangled with it and get your Christian name and your Christian organization and your Christian church all caught up in that, bringing Christ's name all up in that mess. Then the Lord details the judgment that his people have experienced due to their rebellion, their disobedience, their foolishness. Assyria has attacked and ruined large portions of the land. And by the way, for those of you who love to learn about the Bible and the history of the Old Testament and the New Testament, I want to encourage you to take advantage of a deal. I have nothing to do with it. I'm not gaining anything from it. I did it myself today for 99 cents. You can get some of the best reading on Old Testament history on Amazon right now. I did it myself. 5 volumes of the history of the Bible. History of the Old Testament. It goes into all kinds of details. And this is by a Jewish brother who got saved. It'll probably take you a lifetime to read it and to understand it, but it'll be good for you. Because God wants us to learn from the example of the children of Israel as Christians. And he does a wonderful job of bringing forth the history of the Old Testament and bringing Christ in the midst of it all. It's a beautiful work. Only for 99 cents as an ebook. Be that as it may, they are alone, that is the Israelites, exposed and besieged by their enemies. Their country is desolate, and their cities are burned with fire. The Lord has rejected their religious offerings and has refused to hear their prayers. In fact, he told them he was fed up with it. He was sick of it. Anybody gets sick of hypocrisy. Do you have a family member? Do you have a friend who claims to be a Christian in your family? You see them every day and they're mean as the devil to you. Don't speak to you. They hate you. Won't do their part in the family. But as soon as some other Christians come around, they never smile at you at home. But as soon as some other Christians come around, or as soon as they walk in the church, oh, hi! Showing all 12 teeth they have left, the lying selves, oh, hi, and this all fall all down and want to hug somebody and do the little cheek kiss and, oh, my, so, you sister, you're looking so good and so wonderful to see you. It's just such a wonderful blessing. Oh, yes. And you looking at that hypocrite is nauseating. It's disgusting. You're saying, look at this hypocrite, this phony. That's how God was towards the children of Israel. They said the right things. They did some of the right things, but their heart was far from God, and God knew it because God looks on the heart. And by the way, God is looking on your heart. So in verse 16, the Lord begins proposing what his people need to do to have their prayers heard and to receive his favor and blessings once again. And this is the hard part for most of us as Christians today. We don't like to confess our sins. We don't like to repent. We don't want to turn from our evil ways. We have a false, ridiculous theology in our minds that we can get away with our sins. We can sin like we want to sin and still be a Christian. God says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well, to do good. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. And plead for the widow, my dearly beloved, gathered here tonight. At the end of the day, God wants action. At the end of the day, God wants action. Action. He wants you to confess your sins. He wants you to say you're sorry. He wants you to make things, get your heart right with him, but he wants you to repent. He wants you to turn from your evil ways, and then he wants you to start doing good. I think it was Elvis who sung something along the lines that too much talk. We need action. We need action. A little less conversation and some more action. I think that's what Elvis said. Elvis was right. When it comes down to us and God, a little less conversation and a whole lot more action. I have two younger children. They don't talk much, but they get the work done. I like that. It'd be nice if they talked more, but they get the work done. They're about the action. And that's what God wants to see. Less talk and more action. Amen, somebody. At the end of the day, God wants to see the change. He wants to see the change. He wants to see you not only ceasing your evil and doing your evil, but he wants to see you doing good and doing the right thing. And therein lies the problem in the church today. Therein lies the problem in the family, the so-called Christian family today. Hypocrisy begins in the home, dear friend. One of the reasons why millennials have run away from God and the church and from Jesus is because their parents are hypocrites, phonies, fakes. I know you don't like it, but I know I'm right about it. Man, and we have all of these evangelicals throwing up their hands. I don't know what's wrong with the millennials. I raised them in church. But did you raise them at home? Did you deal with your sin at home? Did you insist on doing Ephesians 5? Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. And Ephesians 6 at home. Most preachers and most churches don't preach on those passages. They leave that alone. And we have chaos in the home. And so therefore we have chaos coming out of the home with those children. And my dearly beloved friends tonight, if you don't deal with those children while you got them, while they're young and growing up, listen to me very carefully. You're not going to be able to do anything with them when they become a certain age, my beloved. I know you don't like it, but it's true anyway. You raised a devil because you were so caught up in yourself and what you were doing and your job and your running around and trying to reclaim your high school years and being on Facebook trying to hunt down people who are not hunting for you, trying to get your groove on and you're 50. Yeah, honey, if you didn't get your groove on yet, it's too late, baby. You're not what you used to be. Sit down somewhere and raise your children. Talk some sense into your children. There's hypocrisy begins in the home. We have hypocritical pastors in the home. Hypocritical prophets in the home, hypocritical evangelists in the home, hypocritical teachers in the home, hypocritical wives in the home, hypocritical fathers, husbands in the home, hypocritical fathers in the home, hypocritical mothers in the home, producing not only hypocritical children, but lost children on their way to hell because they don't believe the Bible, because they don't believe in you. Because you don't believe the Bible. They never, listen to me very carefully. They've never seen you obey the Word of God. They've never seen you obey Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. They've never seen any order in your relationship with the husband and the wife. They've never seen it. They've been looking for it. They can't find it in your life. Why? Because you're a phony. I know you don't like it. I know you hate it. I know you never heard it like this before. And I know you're saying, well, I'm glad he won't come and preach my church. I don't want to come preach in your church. I would have to backslide to get into fellowship 25 times. I know I'm right about this. And everybody wants to blame the church. Why is the church not doing this? Why didn't the church do more to save my children? Why didn't you do more to save your? They're your children. You lying hypocrite. Stop blaming God. Stop blaming Jesus. Stop blaming the church. Blame yourself. A little less conversation and a little more action is what we need. Let me ask you a question. If you don't know what I'm talking about, let me ask you a question. How about it, husband? Do you love your wife or do you have a girlfriend on the job? How about it, pastor? Do you love your wife and you appreciate your wife? Like you say, that's what you got on your Twitter page. That you're such a wonderful, loving husband of your sweet, loving wife and your angelic children. Do you really love her? Because if you truly loved her, the lady over in the other office in the church would not be your girlfriend. That even the church members call your wife at the church and they laugh it off. You know, that's of the devil, by the way. I know of a distinguished pastor. I love him. He's a great man of God, a great preacher, a great pastor. He can't stand his wife. His wife can't stand him. And his secretary is his wife at the church. And everybody knows it. She knows more about that man than his wife does. And that is multiplied over across this country. Sad to say. How about it, wife? You're such a wonderful Christian. You love to go and praise the Lord and raise your unholy hands, but you hate your husband. You disrespect your husband in front of your children. You call him Skeeter in front of his guests. Some nickname you picked up from his classmates a year ago just to embarrass him. He has a doctorate in theology, respected around the world, but you call him Skeeter. You dishonor your husband in front of your children by not obeying him. You lie. You're dishonest. You don't keep your house clean. You don't take care of his needs, his clothes that he needs cleaned and washed and ironed. You give him chores like he's a little boy. How is your Christianity at home? How about it, teenager? Are you obeying your father and your mother? Are you obeying your father and your mother? Are you honoring your father and your mother? Do you love and respect your parents? It's not about your feelings. It's about obeying what the Word of God says. If that's not happening down at the house, well, you're bringing a circus into the church. You're bringing chaos into the church. There's no magic thing that happens once you go into the church doors. All that hell that you're bringing out of the house goes right into the church. And then you got 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 families with hell. Well, what are you going to have in the church? Hell. That's why judgment must begin at the house of God. Because we have a bunch of hypocrites in the church today. Who say the right words on Twitter. Who say the right words on Facebook. I don't know where they get this language from. This crazy talk. I am the husband of. And I am the father of. I am the sweet wife of. Are you kidding me, people? Where did you get that from? You got it from some man sitting on a bench somewhere at Starbucks writing a blog and who does nothing else. What is your name? Just tell us your name. We don't need to hear all of that. If you are such a wonderful husband and such a wonderful wife and such a wonderful father and mother, just be it. Because it's going to come out in the wash. It's going to come out in your children. You don't have to tell us. Your children will speak for you. Right now we're honoring a great preacher that God has used. One of the reasons why we are showing honor and appreciation for him is because his children, all of his children, are still serving God. His grown children, I mean old children, if you will, are all serving God. I don't need anything else. That tells me a whole lot right there. How you doing, Pastor? How you doing, Preacher? With your children? What are your children doing? Where in the world are your children, Pastor? For that one reason alone, most pastors need to resign. Their children are a bad example for the other families. And with that tonight, I have so much more to say. I'm going to close. But before I close, here are three takeaways. Number one, go somewhere and confess your sins. Repent of your sins. Remember what I said, hypocrisy begins in the home, not at the church. Hypocrisy begins at the house. Is it real at the house? Are you a real Christian at the house? Do you smile at the house? Do you say I love you to the family members at your house? Are you willing to hug your children at the house? And not just the children at the daycare center. Do you respect your husband at home? Not just when you're around other people. You hypocrite. Do you love your wife at home? Not just when you are trying to get a contract or trying to get a deal with somebody at the church. Because you think that's what people are looking for. And they are. They want to see what kind of relationship you have with your wife. They want to see what kind of relationship you have with your husband. Everybody wants to know about that. How that's working. And they can tell when it's real. You can't fake it. They can tell when it's real. You know when it's real. I know I have two couples in my mind right now. They got a real deal. They truly love each other. You can tell how they look at each other. When they look at each other in the eyes for 3 or 4 minutes, like one lady said, you can't, the lies don't lie. I mean, one lady said, the eyes don't lie. Now, women know about that. They know. The eyes don't lie. The eyes don't lie. The eyes don't lie, baby. The eyes don't lie. Oh, no. If you see a couple that can hardly look at each other for a hot second, you know they don't have it going on. They don't have it going on. They don't have it going on. Don't work with them. Leave it. They're hypocrites. They're phonies. You know what your sins are. You know you need to confess your sins. You know you need to repent and get your heart right with God and confess and repent of that besetting sin, that weight that holds you back from serving God as you should. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ all around you to stop being phony too, to stop being hypocrites. We have churches full of hypocrites. Hypocrites, phonies. It's all fake. God knows it. The pastors know it. The pastor's wife know it. They all know it. We have a well-oiled machine that produces money. And that makes people feel good for a moment, like they're on a little merry-go-round. And we all have these little lies we tell. Everybody says the same. This is my sweet little sweet thing wife. And he knows she's a witch. Oh, this is my lovey-dovey husband. And she knows he's an adulterous devil. Lies. And the children look at him like, the millennials are looking at him like, what? I didn't see that last night. Oh, well, I guess this is the way the Christians live. I know you don't like it, but it's true. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to keep it real, to confess their sins and to repent of their sins, uncross back in the back, to turn from their evil ways and to get back to their first love, your first love, Jesus. Pray for them and pray for yourself to pray, to seek God's face. That's connected to getting back to our first love, Jesus Christ. Turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves before God. And we don't emphasize that enough today. Now, there's a group of people right now, they call themselves Christians. And I know of somebody who wants to communicate with them, but because of their past experience with them and how proud and haughty they are, he doesn't even want to go and talk with them. So pray for them. Pray for people like that who are proud and haughty. Number three, pray for souls to be saved. And do your part by witnessing to lost people. And pray to the Lord of the harvest for more laborers to go into the field, including us, all of us who are saved. In the words of a preacher in San Diego, California, do something. Do something. Do something about the Great Commission. Do what Christ has commanded you to do. Do something. God will bless your something. And if you don't know what to do, get with Brother Greer out of Durham, North Carolina, with his one program. Just get one. How about your one? Are you praying for one? I like it. Do you have one in the funnel? You can get one, Dr. Thomas Steele said. You can get one if you want one. God will give you one. Everybody can get one. Amen, somebody. Introverted can get one. The extroverted can get one. The gregarious can get one. The hermit can get one. One. How about you on the one? I like it. I like it. It's Southern Baptist, but I like it. I like it real good. The gospel, above all, goes along with what we're doing here. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. Just Jesus evangelistic campaign. God knows how to put it together. Let's not just talk about it. Let's be about it. A little less conversation and a little more action. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for being here tonight. What a day, strange day, Lord, quite honestly, that we've had today, but productive. For the ongoing of the work and ministry things that have to be done. And Lord, after all of that, some people did not feel that upbeat about this meeting tonight. But Lord, we thank you for showing up and showing out as you do by your grace, by your love, by your mercy, by your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and the freedom and the liberty, the unction of your Holy Spirit. I don't know how you do it, but I thank you for doing it. And Holy Father God, as your children, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, our hypocrisy in the church, our phoniness, our not keeping it real in the home, in the family, as husbands and wives, as fathers and mothers, as teenagers, as children. And Lord, help us to tell the truth and shame the devil. The reason why so many millennials, as we call them, and the X generation, as we call them, have flew the coop is because their parents are hypocrites and have been all of their lives. They lived one way in the church, and some of the children didn't even see them in church because they were out playing games or with some little exciting children's program. And but contrary to what parents think, children know what Christians ought to be, and they didn't see it at home. And that's the problem. Therein lies the problem. Have mercy and grace upon Lord people in the church who have done that. We thank you for the remnant who have done it by your grace, have done it right. They had family devotions. They chastised their children when they were wrong and they did evil. They taught them the word. They prayed. And they insisted on everybody doing it your way. And when it was not done your way, it was pointed out it was not your way. And it was dealt with. And so, Lord, help all families to get back to the old landmarks in the family so that the church can be revived and be what it should be in this world, that millions will see Jesus once again and millions will hear the gospel and be saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight if you're with us and you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for your salvation from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. I know you don't like to hear that, but it is true. Contrary to what you think, life is not a party, and hell will not be a party either. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven, in case you don't believe that there's a hell. But you do respect Jesus Christ as a man who told the truth. Well, you have to believe not only John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," but what he said about hell as well. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Not because he hates us, but because he loves us. He does not want us to go to hell. He has done everything he could to save you from hell. If you go to hell, you put yourself in hell. You will be responsible. Not God, not Jesus, not your mama, not your daddy, you. And just like everybody in jail, they're in jail because they put themselves there. We're not counting the innocent people in this sin-cursed world. But God is just and honest. And nobody's going to be in hell unless they put themselves in hell by rejecting Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You should not be able to go to sleep tonight if you're not saved after hearing what Jesus said about hell. The Bible states also in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters." When I was a young preacher, I used to say idolaters. I was so ignorant. "And idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So this is a very serious matter. God has you here for a reason, wherever you are in the world, to hear this message. Many have repented and trusted Christ as Savior, and you can do the same tonight. So hell is bad news. Very bad news. The worst news ever. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," that's Jesus, he was speaking about himself, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart tonight to save your soul. All you have to do is believe in him, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. As John the Baptist called him, he is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, including yours. Your sin debt is paid. Have you ever been in debt before? Yes, you have. Isn't it wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody just paid that debt for you? Would you accept it? Yes, you would. Well, accept this one, because this may be the only time somebody pays your debt. Jesus paid your sin debt. All you have to do is believe on him, trust in him, and you're good to go. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and pray and ask him to save your soul, and I'll be glad, more than happy, to lead you in prayer, phrase by phrase, and I'll do it slow. Just mean it from your heart while you're believing on Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Repeat after me. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments by taking your holy name in vain, by dishonoring my parents, by disobeying my parents, by stealing, by lusting after people and things, by lying, and many other sins, trespasses, transgressions, and iniquities. Lord Jesus, have mercy and grace upon my soul. And Holy Father God, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my old wicked life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. For we have some free material. We have 2 free books we would like to send you. If you would just send us your email free of charge, that will show you in more detail about the salvation you just experienced, that you just walked into, and how to grow in the faith. Send us your email and Elizabeth will send you 2 books free of charge that you can keep forever as ebooks, and you can pass them on to family and friends and help them to grow in the faith as well. We want to do that for you tonight. So just send in your email wherever you are. And if you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, which should be on tomorrow night, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, God bless you. Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. And by God's grace, we love you too. And may God bless you real good.